We're going to get to that. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. Very familiar couple of verses for everyone, I'm sure. Ephesians 5, 22 to 24 says this. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. So tonight we want to talk a little bit more specifically about a wife's submission. We've talked about it a little bit in the past. We want to dig in a little bit more today. It can be difficult to understand and frustrating at times. And so we want to learn more about it. What it is and how you are to wield it in your marriage. So the wife is commanded to submit to her husband, and God has made it so that men respond to the kind of respect and honor that she is commanded to give. It is her responsibility and it is her gift to her husband. And it gives her her proper biblical place and influence within a marriage. The Bible says that the power of this kind of submission is the kind of power that changes the heart of men. And that's about as big as it gets. However, it doesn't always feel that way. It's true nonetheless. And the sooner wives believe God and take him at his word, instead of adding in their own attempts at bringing about that change that may be needed, the sooner they will start to walk in the blessings of their femininity, and the sooner they will rejoice in the life that God has given them. Respect is her avenue to bring about godly change in her husband. She has been given a difficult task, but in doing that task, she finds the true power of her femininity, and she builds her own house with great wisdom. So, studies show that the number one reason for male depression is what is called learned helplessness. Learned helplessness, that is when a man can't do what is required. When he fails and he feels like all he will ever do is fail, he tends to fall into depression. He has learned to be helpless, that he can't do it. He's impotent. So when a man fails to win the admiration of his wife, that is, he can never impress her. She never allows herself to be wowed. She never looks at him with wide eyes and does not follow him, or he looks in vain for a smile. In short, when he is a failure in his own house, he will never become that which God made him to be outside of it. If your husband can never impress you, he is going to be miserable. And this learned helplessness often unwittingly comes at the hand of a perpetually unimpressed wife. Why do you think that little boys are always saying, "Mom, watch this. Mom, watch this. Look at me." It's because males are hardwired to impress. And the mother who is never amazed at what her little boy is showing her is setting that boy up for a lifetime of being needy and timid. A wife that does not allow herself to be won is sawing off the very branch that she is sitting on. As the Bible says, a foolish woman tears down her house, and everyone falls down with it, including her. So respect and honor are commanded for wives to husbands. And if we want better marriages, which we do, we want to figure that out. Now, submission, of course, is hard. And we're about to make it harder. Because the submission of the church to Christ, wives, is your standard. That's what God has put for you. You want to know, in what way do I submit to my husband? The submission of the church to Christ is the standard. So in what way does the Bible teach that the church should submit to Christ? Well, in every way. And it's exactly what we read in these verses. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. That's the standard. So you think of it this way. If the church submitted to Christ in the same way as you submit to your husband, would the church be better or worse? If you were the standard, if you were the model, the way you submit to your husband, if that's how the church submitted to Christ, would it be better or worse? I flipped that around last time for the men too, and it was a dismayed groan throughout the group. Would the church be a joyful place to be? So, wives, you have been given a command, but you've also been given a standard. And the bar is set really, really high. As it is for the men, right? The men are commanded to love their wives using the pattern of Christ's love for his church. And that's a pretty high bar as well, of course. So the standard is a real win. And just as men are to pursue real love, wives are to pursue real respect, meaning the respect that you have for your husband ought to be authentic, not pretend. So your husband comes home from work, and he's got some flowers, and he walks right by you, tosses them on the couch, sits down, turns on the TV, and says, "Love you," and he's already watching the game. That is not the kind of love that God commands husbands to have for their wives. You know that. You know instantly, right? Women are fine-tuned to knowing when love is sincere, when it is being from the heart, when it is communicated well. Women know that. But what women don't always know, that in the exact same way, a man can tell when respect is sincere. He knows. He is as finely tuned towards respect as you are towards love. He knows, just like you do. So we have a real challenge in this area. So what does the quiet and submissive spirit in a godly wife look like? Well, as we said, the church is your model. Right, as the church submits to Christ in everything, that's the model. So we look at that and we say, so what does the bride of Christ look like? If I want to know what this quiet, submissive spirit is, I should be able to see it in the church. So is the church some mute, mindless, mousy, drab, bored, listless drone of a bride who only does the dishes? Is that how the Bible describes the church? Is that your model? No, the church is described as glorious, precious, beautiful, powerful, loved and cherished, unconquerable, growing, glowing, fruitful, joyful. That's the model. That's what you should be striving for, what you should be aspiring to be. When you think quiet and submissive, you should be thinking that way, glorious, beautiful, powerful, cherished, growing in glory, as awesome as an army with banners, beautiful and bountiful. The very definition of luxury. That is a bride. Submission is not robotic obedience. Church isn't called to that. And it's not strictly being quiet. It's having a quiet spirit. There is quite the difference between those two things. A quiet spirit refers to a settled heart, a tamed heart. A quiet spirit refers to mental fortitude, emotional strength, spiritual composure. It refers to a well-ordered soul, one that is composed and content. Now, I think that wives often make a mistake when it comes to considering what it means to have a quiet spirit and how to win their husbands over without a word. They think that it means saying nothing, making sure that you only cry at night, hiding in the bathroom when your husband is asleep and he doesn't know. I'm going to hide my tears. I'm going to silence my voice. I'm supposed to be quiet. I'm maybe just an ornament in the house, a maidservant. But that is not at all what the Bible means when it says to learn quietness. Now, we remember the standard. The standard is the relationship between Christ and the church. That's the standard. So if you want to know what it means, we look to that. Like, that is what we are to model. When people see our marriages, they should be able to understand in some fashion the relationship between Christ and the church. Okay? So we look to that model. And what does Christ say to his people? Says that. He says, come to me. Cast all your anxieties on me. Talk to me. Come. Cast your burdens. Cast your anxieties. Find refuge. God says to his people, come and talk to me. We just considered the Psalms. God has given us a songbook, and he says to his people, say this to me. That's what I want. I want you to come and say these types of things to me. I want to hear this from you. And then you go over the Psalms and you find the complete range of emotions, right? All the tears and all the laughter and the frustrations and the anger and the joy and the thanksgiving. It's all there. And God says, come and talk to me, right? That's prayer, of course. Come and talk. God wants his people to come and share their whole heart with him because he cares for them. That's the model. That's the model. You are to model the church in its submission to Christ. And God says, come. You are welcome. I want to hear from you, my people. We are to tell God our worries and our fears, our burdens, our struggles and anger, our frustrations and our troubles. That's the model that we are to follow. And we often think that I'm supposed to be quiet and that's really the end of the story. But that's not it at all. We are to be like the church. Wives are to be like the church. And the church is encouraged and exhorted to talk a lot. So wives need to be free and encouraged to talk to their husbands. And their husbands are to understand that this talk is good and right. It is proper in a marriage. She needs to be able to talk to him, and she needs to be able to talk a lot. That's the model that Christ gives us. And men need to learn how to listen. Women need that avenue to talk freely. So the husband who holds his wife to silence is making a great mistake. That's not the model. The guard that God has put over your lips is not silence. What is guarded with the quiet and feminine spirit that God has commanded for us to cultivate is the manner in which you talk to your husbands. So what's the standard? We have the same standard. How do we as God's people talk to God? How do we do that? Well, with respect, don't we? Not with accusing or in sarcasm or rolling of the eyes or disrespectfully or without honor. How we talk to God is the model. That's what we're supposed to model. Men are supposed to model Christ. Women are supposed to model the church. How does that relationship work? How does the communication go? How do we talk to God? So we have a model given to us and how the church is invited to talk to God and the respect that we give him. This is what submission is. The quiet heart is a tamed heart, settled in the love of God. And in that manner, when we are settled in his love, we can approach him with all of our anxieties. So the wife needs to be able to talk to her husband. Do not think that a quiet heart means you can't talk. You can. Your husband needs to know two things from you. He needs to know what you're thinking and what you're feeling. He needs to know all of that. He needs to be able to receive that from you. He needs to invite you into his life in that way. You are a part of him. You are one flesh. So he needs to know what you think and what you feel. He needs to know your tears. God counts the tears of his people, puts them in a bottle, right? That's the model for Christ. You should know your wife's tears. She should not feel like she has to cry hiding somewhere, right? So he needs to know what you think and what you feel. And he needs to know that you respect him, that your commitment to him is steady, no matter what your anxieties are. That's the guard. That's what makes the quietness effective. To tell him your troubles, but also to tell him your respect. Not your dissatisfaction with him or how he's failing or how he needs to step it up. That's not the model. That's not how we talk to God. So your husband needs to know of your troubles, of your thoughts, your feelings, and he needs to know your sincere submission. They go together. Because if you come with lots of troubles and weights and worries, he's going to wonder if you're still with him. He needs to know both. Just like a wife doesn't ever tire of her husband sincerely saying, I love you. That doesn't get old, right? I need to hear that. I want to hear that. And that's really important. So in assurance of your husband's love for you, you bring your heart, you share it with him, and then you follow him with gladness and joy no matter what. That's the model. That's what we are to do with our relationship with the Lord. We come to him, we cast all our anxieties on him, and he says, I care for you. I care for you. Now trust me. Now trust me, and we will lead. A settled heart before God is beautiful, and it is powerful. This feminine heart, Peter tells us, has the power to change a man without words. That settledness. And women don't always believe that. There is the fear, because it's a very different thing, of course, submitting to God than submitting to a husband. Husbands are far from perfect, and that's where a lot of the challenge is going to come in, where the fears come in. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. But what we need to grasp as we move in, that a wife needs to understand that once what needs to be said has been said, that needs to be verbalized, after that comes the demonstration of joyful submission. Once your husband knows both your heart and your respect, can you let it go? Can you let it go? The temptation is always to keep talking a little bit more, to say the right things, but then to make sure there's just enough tone so that he knows that you really want something more, right? I'm going to put a little bit more in there. And he will hear that loud and clear, and it will muddy everything. And he knows it instantly. And when you do that, you lose the very power to change that you're actually pursuing, what you are hoping for. So God has given you a means to beauty and power. And yet so many remain ignorant of that, what that actually is, or fearful. Because you don't know what my husband's going to do if I do that. And husbands do some really terrible things. And that is going to be the challenge. So then, obviously, we want to know, how do we develop this godly submission? How do I do that? How do I communicate the feelings of my heart freely and my fears and all of that and then let it go? Because the fears aren't necessarily gone, and I'm not totally sure that he heard me or he's listening to me or he's just going to go and do whatever he's going to do anyway, right? The struggles in a marriage. And here again is where many women will get this wrong. They will struggle. Wives will often focus on the things that frustrate them, the things that they find difficult, and then they work at kind of forcing themselves to submit. You look for ways to be submissive in the tough areas of life. It's a constant source of stress. Like, here's the stress. How am I going to submit in this area, right? And the battle begins. You wrestle with it through grit and determination until you finally do it. You submit, you bite your tongue, you whatever it is. And then, of course, you wonder if you did well, if it's going to work, like, is there going to be a good return on my submissiveness? And you worry about the next time the whole thing comes up again. Now, in one sense, you have to work through those stressors when you have difficult situations. Of course, sometimes you got to really struggle to figure it out. How are you going to submit and respect? Sometimes you have to really tough it out, and that's okay. But when that is your focus, your main method of dealing with this question of submission, what you don't notice is that you never actually develop a gentle and quiet spirit. Rather, you find yourself just fighting an unruly, troubled spirit all the time. The spirit never gets settled, right? I'm going to fight this one moment. I did it. Okay? I'm going to gear up for the next one. Next time it comes, like, oh, okay, submission, right? And we fight and we fight, and we never actually get to the point of having a settled and quiet spirit because we're always battling an unruly and troubled spirit. If you never get to the source of the difficulty, you're always going to deal with the surface issues. So you can bail the water out of a boat, right? And that kind of works. That's how you get the water out. But if you never plug the hole that's in your boat, you're going to be bailing for the rest of your life. Always bailing, never sailing. Right? And that is the state of many a flustered wife. Bail, 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 bail. And the next day I pick up my little pail and I bail some more. And you never actually plug the hole in the boat. And you have to bail because the boat is filling up, obviously, right? And you have to deal with the issues at hand. But we have to get to the point where we plug the hole in the boat and we can actually start sailing. So submission, then, and beauty are not about running around and frantically trying to get everything done and then putting on a false smile in hopes of cultivating joy. It's not how it's going to work. Sometimes you have to do that. That's bailing, and that has an effect. You have to do that. But what we want to look at is the posture of the heart. You don't need to look for ways to be submissive and then bail frantically when you find it difficult. What you need is a settled, confident, submissive heart beforehand. So the water doesn't come in when you're in the lake. That's a gentle and quiet spirit. You go to the source first and you work there. Once you conquer your heart, then the day-to-day issues become much easier. An unsettled heart is thrown in disarray the moment something comes up. You tame the heart and the victories will follow. And victories start to pile up instead of just surviving. You're actually sailing instead of bailing. You can put that bucket away and enjoy the scenery for a little while. And joy begins to increase. So it's the heart that's we're after. That's where we want to work. We want to plug the hole so that we can have a settled and quiet heart. And I'm going to give you, this is a big statement, I'm going to tell you how to do it. Yay. And then everything's going to be perfect. If only. It requires work, of course. Repeated disciplining of your mind. But you should, I can just say it this boldly, you should leave here tonight knowing exactly what to do in growing in this area. We want to plug the hole in the boat. Understanding that in the meantime, you may still have to bail for a while. Seasons of change and growth are always difficult. So no, you have to know that going in. If you want to grow in this area, you're still going to face some stiff challenges. And I think one of the first issues you're going to face is the fear. If I let go, what then? It's scary. If I let go, what then? And often we can think, I'm doing this. I am doing this. And meanwhile, we're still sitting exactly like we were beforehand, because the fear still hasn't left you. If I let go, I don't know what's going to happen in my marriage. And so this needs to be authentic. So it is very simple. I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know. It's very simple, but really hard to do. So the goal, this is how you think of it. The goal is not just to submit to your husband. The goal is to submit to God. That's the peace that you need in your mind. Once you have submitted your heart to God, the hole in the boat is plugged. It is. The challenge before you, as much as you think it is submitting to your husband, it's actually submitting to God. That's what plugs the hole in the boat. When you are content with God's promise to care for you, then submission becomes easy. When you are content with God's promise to care for you, that's a massive, massive statement. Then submission becomes easy. An easy yoke and a light burden, right? Having that settled heart before God, that doesn't mean things are always going to be easy and smooth and not challenging. But the hole is going to be plugged. And you can sail on. Having a heart settled before God will lead you to having a heart settled in the area of submission. That's where it goes. Even in the tough situations. Now, the way we do this is to consider two things. And I think I've mentioned this here before, so it's nothing new, but we want to apply it specifically to this area of a wife's submission. We need to consider two things. God's sovereignty, God's goodness. It always comes down to that. God is sovereign and God is good. You want the answer to the problems of life? There it is. God is sovereign. God is good. Romans 8:28 is very famous for a reason. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now that's familiar to us for a very good reason. All things means all things. There is not one area in your life that does not have a happy ending as a believer. There is not one thing that can happen in your marriage that does not have a happy ending for the believer. There's not one. That is hard to accept. because in your mind, you have whatever situation you are in, difficulties you might have, situations you've heard of, something you've seen on the news. How in the world can that have a happy ending? How is this true? Well, we would have all said that when we saw Jesus on the cross, no? How does that have a happy ending? The Savior's dead. Like, that's the end of the road. Like, don't you understand? That can't have a happy ending. And yet it does. God's thoughts are different than ours. He's working all things together for good for those who love him. And if God can do that, if he can take whatever situation you may ever find yourself in, now in the context of your marriage, any situation you might find yourself in your marriage, he says, I can turn that into good. That means he is sovereign, doesn't it? He is all powerful. And then what does God say he does with that great power? He says, I'm going to do good. Specifically, I'm going to do you good. So now the God of the universe has come, and he has promised you, wife, every situation I'm going to turn for your good. You're not going to find one that I'm not going to turn for your good. He is utterly sovereign, and he is utterly good. No one can stop him, not even your husband, if that is your fear. So the question comes around, are you content with God's promise to care for you? That's a big question, because we all know God is sovereign, God is good. He turns all these things for good. He has promised to care for me. He has promised to do that. And I can know that up here, but until I have received that, water still keeps coming in the boat. That's the piece that plugs the hole in the boat. So if you are a wife, then, who is called to submit to an imperfect man, sometimes very much so, what does that verse mean for you? Well, it means what we've been saying. It means that there is perfect blessing and help for you from an all-powerful and all-good God. He is watching over you. He loves you. He knows your every struggle and your every fear. And he is turning every one of those struggles and fears into something good. All of that is yours. So imagine then. Imagine if that verse was true. It is. But if you just let go in your imagination, it's safe to let go in your imagination. You can clench your hands in a second. Imagine if you knew that that was true. That every trial you faced in your home, in your marriage, every difficulty, every disappointment, every fear, every worrisome situation, every bump on the road, every cringe at what that man is doing now, every time you choose to bite your tongue out of respect, even though you really want to say something that doesn't need to be said, if you knew for certain that every one of those stories had a happy ending, that you would thank God for it one day, how would you live? Daily applying this way of thinking, would you not plug the hole in your boat instead of constantly and exhaustively be trying to bail it out? Now, I know I'm just going to put a little caveat here. You still are dealing with sinful men in your life. And this all has to be worked out. And we teach the men what their role is. Remember, I said their standard of love for you is to be the way Christ loves his church. That's their standard. That's what they are called to. So as you feel the weight of what that might mean to actually let your hands go and be content with God's promises for you, so the men have that challenge. What's the model? Men, what's the model? Well, guys, the model is what Christ did and continues to do for his bride. That's what they're supposed to be like. And when the husband and the wife are picking it up, wow, that's beautiful. But even if the other one doesn't, the call is still the same. Even if the wife doesn't respect the husband the way she ought to, that doesn't change the command to the husband. I will tell him the same thing. The model is not the level of respect you get in your home. The model you have is Christ, what he has done for his bride. So we don't want to live in fear or frustration as though things aren't going your way when the Bible says that they are. How about that? Life isn't going my way. And then we open the word and say, oh, actually it is. God says, it is going your way. And he knows what we need far more than we do. Are we content with God's promises to care for us? With all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, ladies, know the God who makes such a promise as this. He is completely trustworthy. His love never fails. He knows the way, and his promises will hold. As you learn to be those who love him, the promises of those who love God and are called according to his purpose, as your love for the Lord grows, you're going to find your hands opening. The hole in the boat becomes plugged. God has promised to care for me. Everything. I'm content with his promise. And then a trial hits. And it's like, I'm still content with his promise. That promise is exactly the same. Even though I'm facing a difficulty, I go back to the word. It still says that. And if God is my defender, then the hands start to open. You don't have to bail so frantically. You have a quiet and settled spirit. That's the goal. Sometimes you will talk a lot. And once something has been said, you will find yourself being completely quiet, even though maybe you want to repeat what you've said. Sometimes you'll talk a lot, and sometimes you'll talk nothing at all. The goal is to have a gentle and quiet spirit, to know and be content in God's promises for you. Submission then becomes, and I say this with respect, easy. Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So get your eyes off the daily hardships and struggles to submit and get them on the all-powerful and all-good God who's working everything for your good. Let them rest there. We almost never open our hands and let go for fear of what might happen because of what might, and again, in the context of marriage, because what my husband might do is frightening to me. And in that moment when you let fear reign, although you would never say it out loud, you are saying that God's not going to turn this for good. My husband's really bad idea or whatever is more powerful than God. That's what we are living like when we give in to fear. We would never say that, but that is how we are acting. And that is in the moment what we're believing. We want to put off that lie and put on the truth. So we want to start our days with meditation on that truth, praise in the God who is not passively watching your home get torn down, but the God who said he is active in bringing about good in your home. There will not be a single trial in your life that you will not be able to look back and say, thank you, Lord, that was exactly right. Who would have said that when Jesus was on the cross? Thank you, Lord, this is exactly right. This is exactly what we need. And even though it was, we wouldn't have been able to see it. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. There will not be a trial in your life that you look back in bitterness if you love the Lord. Your eyes will see his goodness and you will say, thank you, that was good. And if it's going to be true then, when he finishes doing his work, then it's true now. He will complete what he has started in you. We want to learn to give thanks in light of that truth, to steady your heart before God, that the heart is settled and quiet, the hole in the boat is plugged. We are content with God's promises for us. The challenge is not to submit to your husband, not primarily. The primary challenge is to submit to God. And he says, wives, I have this for you. Submit to your husbands. I know it's going to be really hard because husbands are sinful and there's going to be struggles in the marriage. I have that for you. But don't worry. I care for you. I'm going to turn it all into good. Are you content with my promise for you, sister, daughter? Are you content, he says. That's where the settled heart comes in. That's where the quiet spirit comes in that is so precious in the sight of God. Not because you are gritting your teeth and bailing frantically, because you've plugged the hole in the boat. I've settled my heart before God. His promises are enough for me. And I will open my hands. And I will walk in submission. It's not my job to change my husband. Although, praise the Lord, God has said that through my quiet heart, he is pleased to do that work in my husband. What a blessing that is. God will care for you. And does that mean there will ever be any suffering? Of course not. Of course not. There's all kinds of challenges in this. But if you will submit to your husband in a God-honoring way, God is pleased to change your husband through you. And the change of the submission to your husband, we long to have that authentic, a real submission. And God knows your heart. That's why that work needs to be there in your submission to God, in your contentment with what God has for you. That's the work. That plugs the hole in the boat. Learn to rejoice in the Lord through all of your trials, and you will have a gentle and quiet spirit. And the pleasure of your heavenly Father as he sees your heart be still before him. And you know that he is God. One of the warnings I gave to the men last week, where Peter says to live with your wives in an understanding way, honoring them, right, as the weaker vessel, lest your prayers be hindered. When you actually think about that verse, it's quite the threat against the husbands. God says, I will defend these ladies. If you do not live with them in an understanding way, if you do not honor them, I'm going to stop my ears up to your prayers, men, and I'm going to defend my daughters. The man who abuses or mistreats, does not treat his wife with honor, will not invite him or invite her to come to share her heart with him. He is effectively making God his quote-unquote enemy in that area, and God says, I will stop listening to you. Your prayers will be hindered because I'm going to protect my daughter. And that should be something that strikes deep into the heart of men. You may not treat her in a dishonorable way because you have strength in areas that she does not, or that you have authority in areas that she does not. If you misuse that, men, God says, my sons, I will block you out. So as that warning goes out to the men, and they should all stop and reevaluate how they are leading in their homes, so as that warning goes out to them, God's promise should ring loudly in your hearts. I'm watching out for you, my daughters. I'm watching out for you. And if I need to step in to defend you against the very man I've given to defend you, if he's not doing that well, he says, then I will. Then I will. And bear that confidence. Are you content in his promise? Are you content in his help? When you are content in those promises and the help that God gives, the hole in the boat is plugged and you can stop bailing. And you can walk in peace before him. And as we said a little bit before, it's much easier said than done. I can get up here and I can say this to you. You still have to go home and put it into practice. I'm not telling you things that you don't know. And I know that the challenge still, you still leave here with the challenges that you came in with. And those aren't easy. But the way out should be becoming more clear. The struggle is not to submit to your husband primarily. The struggle is to submit to God. Are you content with his promises for you? Have you heard, have you understood, have you received and grasped his love for you? Even to the point where he tells the men, I'm going to block you out to care for her. I'm going to do that. Are we content in his care? Which means, of course, in his timing. Because there will be challenges in your life. It doesn't mean the problems go away. But know that God is your defender in your marriage. He is your defender and he will defend you. Therefore, if that is true, wives, therefore in Christ, you are safe to be submissive. You are safe to open your hands. What is that man going to do? Well, we don't know. I don't know each of your stories, what marriages you are in. Some it's going to be easier and some it will be harder. But the point is to submit to the word of God, to God himself, when he says, I will guard you. I will defend you. That quiet spirit is settled, is a precious thing in the sight of God, and he will defend it. Therefore, you are safe to be submissive. The God of Romans 8:28 is watching over you. And that is not to belittle your problems. That is to make God really big. Because the problems that some wives face are really severe. And we don't belittle that at all. Not for a moment. We don't belittle the problems, but we make much of God. And he has made these promises. When we are content with that, when you know that you are safe in the Lord, no matter what, then you can bloom in all your feminine glory and not afraid, be afraid about getting hurt.